From the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 2 to 7. The prophet looks forward to the birth of God's Son. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For, as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Thank you, Chloe. This afternoon, I'm announcing my intention to stand as a candidate at the next election. If elected, my government will pursue a policy of the strictest environmental reform against tinsel. We will ban tinsel. The world I want is a world with no tinsel in landfill, but more importantly, no tinsel on Christmas trees. We'll also pursue constitutional reform, and I pledge to hold a referendum on Brussels sprouts, whether they should stay or go. I want a world where there are no Brussels sprouts on Christmas plates at all. When it comes to law and order, I want a world where anyone who plays Christmas music before the 1st of December will face a custodial sentence of up to 6 months, and if it's Mariah Carey, it's double. Over the past few weeks, it may have felt like months, we've been hearing the political leaders of our country give us their manifestos, their vision of the world that they want. And I'd like to take a minute now just to look at these verses from Isaiah 9 we've had read, because these verses are God's manifesto for his world, his vision of the world for us. And if we never understand this manifesto, we won't get how jaw-droppingly brilliant Christmas is. And there are three things I want us to see in this manifesto. One, the world we all want. Two, the problem we all have. And three, the leader we all need. Firstly, the world we all want will be a world where truth triumphs over lies. So if you have a look down at verse 2, where Isaiah tells us that people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of darkness, a light has dawned. Now, in the Bible, darkness is associated with lies and confusion. And light is associated with truth. And Isaiah is saying, here is a people soaked in a culture where darkness and deception and lies are all around, and they're just not sure what's true. And I don't know if that rings a bell. I don't know if that rings a bell. When we hear something on the news, we're not sure if we're being told the truth or if it's just fake news. The Guardian website had a quote from a recent voter who said, she said this, "I've only ever lived under prime ministers that have lied and schemed." Isn't that bleak? Now, of course, there are some people who say there is no such thing as absolute truth. I'll tell you my truth, you tell me your truth. But we don't live as if that's actually true, do we? It's why we get so upset when we have a sense that the people who are meant to be leading us are actually misleading us. We long for a time when light will shine out of the darkness, when we won't ever need to fact check what we hear from our leaders. And in verse 2, Isaiah says, "A time is coming when light is going to dawn on the darkness, and truth will triumph over lies." A world is also coming where freedom overcomes oppression. If you look down at verse 4, he writes about the yoke that burdens, the bar across shoulders, the rod of the oppressor, and it's language of slavery. Now, in our Western world, apparently we've never been freer than we are today. But even in that world, oppression just finds a way in, doesn't it? Oppression cracks its whip when our children feel compelled to check their social media sites. Oppression lies at the bottom of a bottle of gin that we just can't quit. Oppression lurks behind the doors of Hollywood executives who can get what they want without even raising their voices. And that doesn't even mention the oppression that forces people like sardines into lorries and cares more about their dollars than their dignity. You see, we may be richer and healthier and safer than we've ever been before, but oppression still finds a way, doesn't it? Still finds a way. And that is my experience for myself, that there are habits in my life that control me rather than me controlling them. They enslave me. And they just stop me being the person that I want to be. And that's why verse 4 is such good news, do you see? Because what's going to God do? He's going to shatter the yoke and shatter the bar and shatter the rod of the oppressor. Because in the world we all want, oppression will be overcome by freedom. And in the world we all want, peace will also defeat war. 2 weeks ago, I was having breakfast with a member of the church family who's an Iranian refugee. And he was telling me a recent story about the government. Overnight, they increased the price of fuel 300%. And understandably, people were upset. So they went out on the streets to protest. And the security services shot them. Not a few, more than 200 dead. Now, violence isn't just happening over there, is it? At Christmas, the adverts tell us that it's a time of year of warmth and joy and love. The problem is, The stats for domestic violence tell us that Christmas is a time of bruises and fear and trembling. And into this kind of gloom, Isaiah says, God is going to shatter the yoke and the bar and the burden. And in the world we all want, peace is going to come. Peace is going to come. Every look down at verse 5. He says, every boot used in battle, every garment rolled in blood, are we destined for burning, will be fuel for fire. He's saying a time is coming when the stuff used to wage war and violence won't be needed. A time is coming when the flag of peace is going to be planted on the highest hill and no one will ever take it down. That is God's manifesto, the world we all want, a place where there is truth, not lies, when there is freedom, not oppression, and when there is peace, not violence. The world we all want. But the manifesto also comes with a health warning, which is this, the problem we all have. You see, because no leader, however good they are, whatever spectrum that they come from politically, will ever be able to take us to the promised land. And that is because the root problem is not something out there. It's not something that can be solved by better education or better healthcare or raising people out of poverty, as good as all those things are. And boy, are they good. But actually, the problem is in here. It's a problem of the heart. Listen to the author Donna Tartt in her book, The Goldfinch. Her character says this. Here's what I really, really want someone to explain to me. What if one happens to be possessed of a heart that can't be trusted? What if the heart, for its own unfathomable reasons, leads one willfully and in a cloud of unspeakable radiance away from health, domesticity, civic responsibility, strong social connections, and all the blandly held common virtues, and instead straight towards a beautiful flare of ruin, self-immolation, disaster? The real problem, the cause zero, she says, is a heart that can't be trusted. Of course, there's fake news out there, but no one ever had to teach me to lie. Of course, there's oppression out there, but it is amazing how easy I find it to manipulate even the people I love. Of course, there's violence out there, but if you were in my head, you would see the red mist descending all the time. The problem is in here. It's a problem of the heart. So who of us, in a moment of quiet honesty, could really say, there's nothing wrong with me? That's the question. Agatha Christie's novel, Murder on the Orient Express, it tells the story of a fatal stabbing on a train that's going from Istanbul to London. And, of course, Hercule Poirot is present, he always is, to search out the perpetrator. And what's happening is all the passengers, they're all pointing the fingers at other people, saying, you're to blame, it's not me, it's you. But then as the story unfolds, it turns out, actually, they've all got a motive. They've all got a motive. And then the big reveal, plot spoiler alert here, the big reveal, they all did it. The victim was stabbed. They all stabbed the victim. They were all in on it. They were all guilty. They all had blood on their hands. You see, on our own, we'll never be able to make the world we all want because of the problem we all have. We're all in on it. We've all got blood on our own hands. Leaders at the top, citizens at the bottom. In one way or another, we're all in on it. Donna Tartt calls it a heart that can't be trusted. The Bible calls it sin. It doesn't matter what you call it, but we've all got it. It's a problem. Now, you may be thinking, this is quite intense what I'm hearing. I came here for a mince pie and some carols. This is a bit of a downer. Please tell me something joyful. But this is the point, because this is when we figure out what is so jaw-droppingly brilliant about Christmas. Have a look down, verse 6. We see it in the manifesto, a world we all want, a problem we all have. Verse 6, Isaiah promises us a leader we all need. To us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. You see, God knew that no human government could ever actually deliver the world we all want. So 750 years after Isaiah made these promises, the wonder child of verse 6 appeared in a manger. And that was God keeping good on his manifesto promises. He sent his only son to take onto his shoulders the government of this world. And how does he govern? Well, our reading in Matthew 1 told us, by saving people from their sins. You see, Jesus' government, it works from the inside out. He governs by changing our hearts, not by cracking the whip. He gives us the spiritual heart transplant that we all know we need. You see, this, he's unexpected and he's an unelected leader. But only he can give us the world we all want and deal with the problem we all have. Now, we're probably all keenly aware over the past few years that when our leaders make bad decisions, we get sucked into it. So let's have a look at how he governs, shall we? Verse 6, how is he described? Yet he is described as mighty God. He is powerful and deserves our worship. But look at how he uses his power. He's the wonderful counselor who offers truth and lies, not deception and confusion. He's the everlasting Father who cares for the vulnerable like a father cares for his children. He's the Prince of Peace, and he governs in a way that brings unity and harmony, not division and hostility. And boy, do we want that kind of government. Now, maybe you're thinking, okay, if he has brought this kind of world, where is it? Well, two things as I finish. First, Jesus' life and death and resurrection 2,000 years ago was only ever meant to be a foretaste of the world we all want. If you like, it was a kind of amuse-bouche to kind of draw us in. If this is what I'm getting now, imagine what the main course is going to be like. And he promises the main course of the world we all want. He says, that is coming when I return again, and I will come back. That's the first thing. The second thing is this. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, I hope that you've already seen a little bit of the world we all want in the friend or the family member who's a Christian who brought you. I hope you see that they're different. They won't be perfect because the perfect world is still coming. They will not be perfect. But I hope you see that they'll be different. I hope you see that they'll be truthful sometimes when it hurts them. I hope you see that they're the kind of people who look out for the vulnerable. I hope you see that they're the last person to start an argument and the first to try and stop it. I hope you see that. The world we all want in the life of the Christians who brought you. And maybe it's an invitation for you, if you're not a regular churchgoer and you've got loads of questions. And I want to say, come along on a Sunday. Come along next week. Come along in the new year. Because the way to deal with your doubts, yes, you've got to ask questions. Of course you do. But sometimes the way to deal with your doubts is to taste a bit of the life of the world we all want from the people who follow the child who was born on Christmas Day. I'm going to pray. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Father, we thank you for this promise of a wonderful world. I thank you it's a promise you'll make good on because of the child you gave to us on Christmas. Amen.